Title of our lesson this morning is Grateful Faith. It comes from the book of Luke, chapter 17, if you'd like to turn there. Luke 17, beginning with verse 11. We will read through verse 19. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I've been doing a study on faith, and there's one or two more lessons in that, so we're coming to the end of it. Title of this lesson is one I like very much, Grateful Faith. We ought to be grateful for the things that God has done for us. God pours out his blessings on us daily, but we all have been the recipients of his special blessings from time to time. So what should these special blessings cause us to do? Now, they should cause us to thank God for what he has done. We will learn today that believers should give thanks to God on a continuing basis. We will also learn to understand that being thankful is a normal response to what the Lord has done for us and to cultivate a greater awareness of regularly being thankful. Also, we will learn how important it is to openly express to others our thanks to the Lord for his blessings. Giving thanks to the Lord in prayer is not difficult. Often, however, when speaking to others, especially to unbelievers, we are hesitant to thank the Lord for what he has done. Admittedly, we may feel a little awkward in openly expressing thanks to God when speaking to others, but we should not let that fear hold us back. Let us consider in our lives what are some of the benefits of expressing to others our thanks to the Lord. This week's lesson is about gratitude and is a good reminder for us to be thankful for the blessings he pours upon us. We need this reminder since we live in a self-focused society. The Samaritan did not hesitate to come back and thank Jesus, so let us not hesitate to express thanks to God and to others for what he has done for us. This lesson can be divided into two parts. Part 1 is hearing a need, Luke 17:11 through 14. Part 2 is receiving gratitude, Luke 17:15 through 19. We will begin with part 1. Let's read Luke 17:11 and 12. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. In verse 11, he says he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. That doesn't mean he went to the middle of each country. It was in the middle between the two countries. It was a borderline. And part of the time he was in Galilee, and part of the time he was in Samaria. He was doing that because there were people looking to kill him. And he knew that was coming, but it wasn't God's time yet. So he was avoiding being pressured into doing things that he wasn't ready to do. Many of those who have studied the chronology of Jesus' life put the raising of Lazarus in John 11 between verses 10 and 11 of Luke 17. He had been at the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, but left there because of the Jews' desires to kill him. That's from John 10:39. He traveled to Perea, John 10:40, but returned to Bethany upon hearing of Lazarus' illness, John 11:1-8. Since a renewed desire to kill him arose after that incident, he left again, John 11:53-54. Okay, now it says that he was at the Feast of Dedication. The Feast of Dedication was, well, it came about during the Maccabean period. It was not part of the law. There was a revolt during the Maccabean period around, I'm thinking 155 B.C., and they drove their oppressors out of Jerusalem, and they repaired the temple and got it restored, and they rededicated the temple, and that is the Feast of the Dedication. It's also the Feast of Lights. Well, at the same time, they have found enough oil to light up the lampstand. That oil had to be special mixed, and it would take a while for a new batch to be ready, and they only had enough oil for a couple of days, but it lasted over a week. So that's known as the Festival of Lights. It's also the Feast of Dedication. Well, that's what Jesus was in Jerusalem for when they were looking to kill him. While he was traveling, we find him staying outside the places where he knew they were actively looking for him. It was during this period of time that Jesus was awaiting his final appearance in Jerusalem. He was traveling on the border between Samaria and Galilee. By doing this, he stayed away from Galilee, where Herod sought to kill him, and from Judea, where the Sanhedrin was plotting to kill him. He was ultimately bound for Jerusalem, but he was following his father's timing. This was a journey that would lead to his crucifixion. His movements through Galilee and Samaria indicate that his route was not direct. Nevertheless, the goal was unchanged. He ministered as he went, but the statement that he went to Jerusalem, Luke 17:11, reveals that this was his last period of ministry prior to the death he would face after he arrived there. As Jesus entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers. As was required of them, they stood away from the crowds. The book of Leviticus gives instructions regarding lepers. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and cry, unclean, unclean, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean, he shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be. That's Leviticus 13:45-46. Leprosy was a feared disease because there was no known cure for it. Some forms of it were highly contagious. There was an emotional impact and terror associated with it, very similar to what we have seen in the AIDS epidemic in our time. If a person contracted a contagious type of leprosy, a priest declared him a leper and banished him from his home and city. This also excluded him from participating in any social or religious activities. These lepers stood at a distance because of these regulations and because of Pharisaic traditions that demanded they do so. They were probably just outside the village that Jesus was entering, since they were also required to stay out of town. Let's read verses 13 and 14. And when they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. There was usually a crowd of people around Jesus, so the lepers would have had to have called out loudly, both because of the distance they had to maintain and in order to be heard above the noise of the people. What they asked for was mercy from Jesus. They needed his empathy and the healing that he could grant them. The most common synonym for mercy is compassion. A reading of the gospel will reveal that Jesus often responded with compassion to those who were in special need. These 10 lepers recognized Jesus and addressed him by his name. They also recognized him as having healing abilities. Luke 17:13 says they called him Master, and that is a word that is found in no other book in the New Testament. The word had been used by Peter earlier, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net, Luke 5:5. The word Master refers to one who is an overseer. Luke probably chose to use the word Master instead of Rabbi in order to reach his Gentile readers. The lepers addressed to Jesus as Master indicated a measure of faith in him. They realized that their only hope for healing was his mercy, not their worthiness. I'd like to point out here that leprosy, like many other diseases, is no respecter of persons. Some of these lepers may have been well-educated, well-respected citizens, an asset to any community, but their disease was preventing them from practicing their trade and contributing to the viability of their community. Their condition made obvious what they wanted Jesus to do for them, namely, remove their leprosy. In response, Jesus told them that what they should do, proceed to show themselves to the priest. He gave no indication that they were healed or were going to be. Their crying out to Jesus for mercy indicated a measure of faith that he could do what they were asking. A greater measure of faith was required, however, to do what he said with any evidence that it would happen. It was a test of faith on Jesus' part to see whether they truly believed that he could do what they had asked. Their healing came when they were underway, not before. How did this happen? Did they call a meeting and take a vote and then go with the majority? Did one of them speak up and voice his feeling that they should go? Whatever caused them to go doesn't matter. Their obedience was a demonstration of their faith. Jesus did not use any great healing formula. He did nothing dramatic. He just uttered a simple command, go let the priest see you. Such a command demanded action from the sick men. This is what the law required of a leper who had become healed of the disease. That's Leviticus 13:2-3 and 14:3-57. A priest was required to declare that a person had leprosy and also that a person was healed of the leprosy. When Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priest, it was a clear implication that their healing was already a reality. They had to act in that belief. Now for part two of our lesson, receiving gratitude, that's from Luke 17:15-19. So let's read those verses, 15-19. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Excuse me. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Let's take a closer look at verses 15 and 16. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Healing sent 9 of the lepers to see the priest at a rapid pace. they were eager to be freed of their confinement and return to a normal life. But one of the men reversed direction. He returned to thank Jesus. He did not seek a private session with Jesus to express his thanks. No, he screamed praise and thanksgiving to God so everyone could hear. He knew that what Jesus did came directly from God. Not only was this man an unclean leper, but he was also an unclean Samaritan. I would like to take a few words here on to add to the Samaritans. After King Solomon, the unified nation of Israel split into two nations, the kingdom of Israel to the north and the kingdom of Judah to the south. The northern kingdom quickly became involved in idolatry and intermarriage with the native people, and therefore they lost their pure Hebrew heritage. They eventually became known as Samaritans after Samaria became their capital city. The Jews of the southern kingdom called the Samaritans half-breeds. However, they still had priests and Levites in their country, and they still taught the law of Moses. There were some of the Samaritans that stayed true to their Hebrew heritage, but the Jews still did not accept them as equals. So back to our lesson. Did this man suddenly ignore the letter of the law, that is, keeping him separated from other people? Or was he just unable to restrain himself from expressing gratitude for what he had realized had just happened? Whatever the reason, he returned to Jesus immediately and fell at his feet, giving him thanks. As we said earlier, they were required to keep a certain distance from other people, and when he went to see Jesus, he broke that rule. He got too close to the people, but Jesus already knew that he was healed. So he wasn't in any danger of anybody catching his disease. Oh, Jesus did not reprimand him for what he had done there. Whatever the reason, he returned to Jesus immediately and fell at his feet, giving him thanks. Or maybe his joy was so great that he could not wait to express his gratitude. The important thing for us to recognize is his gratitude and eagerness to express it. So he did not delay getting back to the one whom he was so thankful. Two truths stand out for us in these verses. First, Jesus had compassion on everyone, no matter their spiritual condition, physical condition, religious affiliation, or national association. He heard the pleas from these men and responded immediately. He does not always do that, but we can trust him anyway because we know of his compassionate heart. Sometimes his purposes do not include that immediate healing, and then we may have to endure some hard times. That does not, however, indicate lesser compassion. Second, God's response is to those who are needy and humble, not to the self-righteous and proud. The book of Proverbs speaks to this. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. It's Proverbs 8:13. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better is it to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. It's Proverbs 16:18-19. After all, what do we have to be proud of, since everything belongs to God? No doubt this event was a lesson to the Jews, because they would have considered a Samaritan in a negative light and unworthy of God's attention. To see a Samaritan return and loudly proclaim praise to God should have been a source of conviction for them. Their God was continually blessing them, but how often did they render such praise? We should evaluate our own hearts in the light of this. How grateful are we for the daily blessings God showers upon us? Verses 17 and 18. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 clean? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Jesus asked questions he already knew the answers to. It was not that the return of only one surprised him, but rather it was important that he point out to those observing the importance of acknowledging the work of God and being grateful for it. So he asked, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? 9 out of 10 received the cleaning, the healing they requested without coming back to express their thanks. An important attitude was missing. The Samaritan that returned revealed a deep understanding of who Jesus was. He may not have understood that Jesus was the Messiah, but at least he knew that he was an agent of God working among men. In light of the miraculous healing he had just experienced, he returned to give thanks to God, knowing his work had been done through Jesus. The other 9 reacted like most of us would have. They took the money and ran. Well, in this case, it was the healing. Jesus had told them to go show the priests, and that is apparently where they were going. Without taking the time to show their gratitude to Jesus, the one who did return praised God with a loud voice, then fell on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. He probably thought that he had to thank both God and Jesus. He most likely did not understand that these two were actually one. Jesus made a point of clarifying the situation. He mentioned the total number who had asked for healing. He mentioned that 9 had failed to return with thanks. He referred to the fact that in doing this, they had not given glory to the God who had worked on their behalf. And he pointed out that the one returning was a foreigner. He expressed these things as a healed leper was worshiping at his feet. It was indeed a strong teachable moment from Jesus to everyone listening to and watching him. This incident illustrates that people whom Jesus delivers and who believe on him have a moral obligation to express their gratitude to him for what he has done for them. It also illustrates the fact that the Jews were happy to receive the benefits of Jesus' ministry without thanking him or connecting him with God. For many reasons, the Jews of the first century did not have the understanding of the workings of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit that we have today. And our understanding is extremely minimal. And yet we are just as guilty of neglecting to show our gratitude for our blessings from God as they were. Let's read verse 19. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. This man had the privilege of learning that it was his faith that had brought about his healing. His simple act of going was evidence of his faith, an act shared by all 10 of these men. The others, however, did not get to receive this commendation from Jesus. In this statement from the Lord, we get the impression that the man received more than just a physical healing. His response, coupled with the resulting interaction with Jesus, suggests he also received salvation. It is probable, therefore, that the other 9 were healed by their obedience to Jesus' command to show themselves to the priest, but did not receive life-changing eternal salvation. It was a pattern that marked the Jewish people as a nation. They were happy to accept the things that Jesus could do for them, such as feeding and healing them, without accepting him as their Messiah. So this is not surprising. It is possible to receive God's great gifts with an ungrateful spirit. 9 of the 10 men did so. Only the thankful man, however, learned that his faith had played a role in his healing, and only grateful Christians should grow in understanding God's grace. God does not demand that his people thank him, but he is pleased when they do. And he uses these occasions to teach them more about himself. The giving of thanks is a recognition of blessings bestowed. To give thanks to the bestower is an obligation of the recipient. The thankless one counts any benefit as his just due, for which he feels no sense of obligation or need to return thanks. The book of James tells us that we owe God constant gratitude. The key verse of our lesson today is verse 15. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Jesus was traveling along the border between Galilee and Samaria on his way to Jerusalem when he came upon this leper colony outside a village. We are not told which country he was in, but we are told that there were both Samaritans and Jews in this leper colony of 10 men. These men were in dire straits. They had leprosy, a disease that affected every aspect of their lives. There were few things worse in Jewish society than to have leprosy. Having this disease was like a living death. People with it were forced to separate themselves from society. They could not earn a living, attend services at the temple, or even associate with their own families. As the disease progressed, it became even more debilitating. It was a terrible chronic disease without hope for a cure. When Jesus met them on the road and offered healing, you might assume that they would be grateful. Through this miraculous intervention, these men were reinstated to life. They went from decay and despair to newness of hope. Jesus gave them back not just their health, but their futures. But notice what happened. Out of 10 men, only one returned to thank Jesus for his healing. When we look even closer, we see that this man was a Samaritan, not a Jew. Even Jesus commented on this. The only person to express gratitude was a foreigner with whom proper Jews would not even associate. When the man returned, Jesus commended him for his faith. Gratitude is essential to any believer's walk. It does not matter whether you are a new believer or one of many years. Expressing your thankfulness for God's blessing is imperative for growth. Psalms 22:3 tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. He lives in our gratitude. Why should we have grateful hearts? First, he is God. We are his people. He is good, not a tyrant. He hears us when we call. He has delivered us from death. Most important, by his son's sacrifice, we are saved from an eternity of torment. There is power in gratitude. When we turn to God with grateful hearts, he extends more mercy and greater blessing. Our walk is strengthened and deepened by demonstrating our gratitude. A believer who fails to express gratitude takes for granted God's blessings. God is not obligated to give us anything. We were created to glorify him, from Isaiah 43:21, not he for us. When we choose not to show gratitude, there are serious ramifications. You find that in Isaiah 27:11. We become discontent and grumble against him. It is not simply about offering occasional praise when life is going well for us. It is about cultivating continual thanksgiving in our hearts, which is to be practiced whatever the circumstances. That concludes the study of our lesson text today, but I would like to make some more comments that pertain to the lesson. Leprosy in Bible times referred to a cluster of diseases that often brought great suffering. Not only were there severe and debilitating physical symptoms, but also being socially and religiously ostracized brought great pain. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus encountered 10 lepers who apparently were living together apart from family and friends, keeping the required social distance from Jesus. They cried out to him in their need and begged for his mercy. They had probably heard of the miracles and healing that he had been doing, and they clearly believed that he could heal them also. Jesus responded to them by telling them to go show themselves to the priest, which was required by the law when one was healed of leprosy. As they left in obedience, they were healed, all 10 of them, without a further word or even a touch from Jesus. When the lepers realized they were healed, 9 of them went on to see the priest, who would pronounce them clean and enable them to get back to their lives, back to their families and friends, and back to their plans and dreams. However, one of the lepers stopped, turned around, and returned to Jesus, glorifying God and falling down in worship before him. He too wanted to get back to his life, but a grateful heart must put things first things first. He returned to thank Jesus. In response to his gratitude, Jesus said to him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." All 10 lepers had received physical healing, but only this man received spiritual healing. He was not saved because he was grateful. He was grateful because he had come to believe in Jesus as his Master, Lord, and Savior. The lesson is clear. One of the distinguishing marks of a faithful believer is that he is thankful. Jesus helps us each day, sometimes in small ways and at other times in more monumental ways. We must remember to thank and praise him during the good times and also during times of trouble. The title of our lesson today is Grateful Faith. We need to be grateful for the things that God has done for us. And we need to practice our faith by telling others the things that God has done for us. Questions or comments?
I was thinking, I wonder how many times whenever I need something or want something for God, I pray about it, but then never got answered my prayer. How many times do I just acknowledge it by simply stop praying about it? I actually acknowledge the fact that God had answered it and be thankful for it.
It seems easy to get out of the habit of praying. And I guess that's because of our human makeup. But it's something that we need to do. We need to make a habit of praying. We need to be thankful. Thank you for the comments. If there's nothing else, I would urge you to start each day with a grateful heart, and let's have a word of prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for your love and your mercy. Lord, we're grateful for the things you have done for us, for our salvation, most assuredly. Lord, we just thank you for being with us and leading and guiding and directing us. Lord, we pray now for our pastor. Just touch his body and heal him and be with the doctors and the team that cares for him, and that he may be back with us soon. Lord, we thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming.